Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We now have the Jet and Jason Terry joining us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Jet, how you been?
I've been good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. We've been talking about Ben Simmons. Mentally, he just doesn't have the confidence to shoot the basketball right now. We see him put the work in the offseason. It just doesn't translate onto the court. What would your advice be to Ben Simmons, you know, when you're a player and there's a part of your game that you know is not at a good state and it's getting talked about now all throughout the country?
Well, you definitely got to call in the specialist. And you know, I'm always available if he needs some confidence, especially when it comes to shooting. But, at some point in a player's career, he has to understand that, you know, the evolution of our game today, you have to be able to shoot the basketball. And it's not that he can't shoot. It's just mentally, psychologically, he just won't unlock it. And it takes a special type of mindset. It definitely starts with your training in the off season, but you have to continue that training in the regular season. And then as you continue your training, you have to trust it in game situations. And it takes a special voice. You know, I mean, even though I was a good shooter in my day, I still had a mental coach that would help coach me through my workouts. And then, you know, he reinforced those training methods as I was out in play. So I just think he needs somebody, you know, in his corner, in his stable, to help him out psychologically.
Joel Embiid is only 27 years old, but there's a lot of mileage on those legs, and we've seen him get injured before. He played like an MVP this year, and he was a finalist. So you can't waste these years of Joel Embiid's career. It begs the question, should the Sixers look to break up that partnership and trade Ben Simmons this offseason?
Well, as an organization, anytime you fall short of your goal, you're always going to do some self-evaluation, right? You're always going to look at what could we have done better, what pieces may be out there that we can add to what we have. But when you look at it, I mean, it's just hard to acquire talent in this league. And if you can upgrade your team, one GM always told me, he was like, everybody's available. If I can make my team better, everybody's available. And so understanding that it's a business, and, you know, for them to get to where they want to go, they're going to have to add shooting to that roster, especially if Ben Simmons is going to be there. You're just going to have to keep surrounding him with shooting. If it's moving him, you better darn make sure that it's an all-NBA, all-first-team type, all-star player to replace him, because what he does, it has value. You know, he's a great defender. He's a facilitator. He gets everyone involved. And if there's only one part of his game that's a weakness, it's shooting. But I can name five great things that he does out there on the floor. So, I mean, it's just going to have to be between ownership, and they'll have to figure it out. But like you said, Joel Embiid is getting old quick. I mean, he's a young guy, but his body is a little bit older because of his size, because of the wear and tear. He came into this league, you know, with some injuries. So they definitely want to maximize his prime of his career and make sure they put the best team around him.
The Jet, Jason Terry here with us. I know you're enjoying your time away from basketball in the NBA at Arizona. You coming back and helping the Sixers at the age of 43?
Hey, man, some phone calls you got to answer. I mean, Doc Rivers is a good friend of mine, but I'm sure they got things covered up there. I got my hands full down here with these young boys.
All right, from the Hawks side of things, this team had to fire their coach. Nate McMillan took over. They were 14-20. Now they're four wins away from going to the NBA Finals. What's been the most impressive part about the Hawks, even after their poor start, when you watch them?
Love it, love it, man, because if anybody doesn't know my history, I was drafted number 10 to the Hawks some 30-odd years ago, maybe a little less than that. But, you know, great organization, man, good city. I mean, it was a baseball, football town, but now the Hawks and Trae Young have taken it by storm. It's great to see. It's refreshing, you know, to see some new blood in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, you always could say for years it was going to be like the Pistons and, you know, teams like that. But now you got the Nets, you got the Knicks, you got Milwaukee. I mean, it's just so much new life in the Eastern Conference. And the Atlanta Hawks are so young, it seems like their best basketball is ahead of them. And for them to be where they're at right now, I mean, they got to continue to live in the moment. And they got to keep shocking the world. I mean, you know, Milwaukee's a good team. They're a great team. They've been there. They're battle tested. But one thing about it, when you're young and you just don't know and you don't care, you play carefree. And so all the pressure will be on Milwaukee, and Atlanta just has to keep doing what they do, man. And I love it, man. Give Nate McMillan all the credit in the world. I mean, Indiana got rid of him. After they gave him an extension, he ends up as an assistant, and now he's the head coach coaching in the Eastern Conference Finals. Man, hats off to Nate.
Jason Terry, also ended up your career in Milwaukee. How do you think Milwaukee will respond to the pressure after beating the Heat in four games and then also taking down the Nets in seven?
Well, when you look at this Milwaukee Bucks team, you just got to look no further than their star in Giannis Antetokounmpo. When you listen to him speak after games in his press conferences, I mean, this is a kid that is extremely focused on becoming an NBA champion. When I was in Milwaukee, my first year I met Giannis, I snuck in his locker. I looked at his phone. On his screensaver, he had the Larry O'Brien trophy. Now, he didn't go crazy and tattoo it on himself like I did, but it was his phone saver, man. So we know what motivates him. We know what drives him. And when you add a guy like Chris Middleton, who's an all-star, and then a guy that I love who's just an all-underrated team, is Drew Holiday. I mean, you have three super studs on that team, and it's just going to be extremely hard for Atlanta to beat them because they're focused, man. Their eyes are on the prize, and they didn't just say, let's just get to the Eastern Conference Finals. They want it all. And so it'll be a fun, exciting matchup, but those Bucks are pretty tough.
We know injuries are part of this game. Kyrie Irving missed, after game four, games five, six, and seven. Harden played, you know, admirable effort, but you could tell he was basically playing on one leg. If the Nets just had one of Kyrie or Harden healthy, you think they would have won that series?
In hindsight, 2020, you can say that. And the reason why you say it is because they did go to seven with those handicaps that they had. But, you know, it just wasn't their time. I mean, Durant did all he could, man. Can you imagine a guy coming off an Achilles injury the way he did and to put up a performance like that? He's obviously, you know, his legacy to me was never in question, but he's obviously etched himself in stone in the hearts of many for the performance that he had. And obviously they were shorthanded. You add Kyrie, who we know is super dynamic, and he was having a great playoff run. James Harden, I mean, you see that team healthy next year, they're going to be hell on wheels, man. And I do think it may have been a different outcome if those two guys were healthy.
Jason Terry, we don't know if Kawhi Leonard, when he'll return. We don't know when Chris Paul's coming back. Suns had a big Devin Booker effort yesterday with the triple-double. They're up 1-0. Do you think the Suns go to the finals?
You know what? If we look at the playoffs in its totality and we say what team got hot at the right time and who's playing the best as a team and not just individuals, you got to say the Phoenix Suns are the odds-on favorite to make it to the finals. Now, the Clippers are battle-tested. I mean, they have not won a game one in the playoffs. I can't even know since when. They've been at 0-2 down in all the series this year. And, you know, Tyronn Lue is a great executionist when it comes to making in-game adjustments and game plan adjustments. He's built for the playoffs. He's proven that, you know, from his days in Cleveland when they were down 3-1. So, you know, I'm not going to overlook the Clippers. Maybe they get a boost back with Kawhi. Maybe they don't. They've already proven they can win without him. And I just think, man, it's just going to be a great series. I think this is going seven. I mean, how can you not have this series go seven and then let's see what happens? But, you know, Phoenix is playing well. They've played well now for about a year and a half. And they definitely need Chris Paul back out there to give them a little bit of an advantage. But the game Devin Booker had, the maturity, the growth that we've seen Devin Booker, he is definitely a superstar in my books, and I'm just excited to watch him continue to grow and develop and put together performances like he did the other night.
Jason Terry here with us. You know the Mavericks well. You played there for a while. You won a championship. Like you said, you got the tattoo of the Larry O'Brien trophy. Donnie Nelson out after 24 years. Rick Carlisle not coming back. How'd you react to all those changes last week?
You know what? I'm a huge Donnie Nelson Jr. fan. He was here in Dallas in 2004 when I was here. He was as an assistant coach under Donnie Sr. He gave me my biggest contract in my career, and he's a friend. You know, not only was he a business partner, but he was a friend. And I hate to see him leave, but, I mean, he'll go down as one of the greatest GMs the Mavericks have ever had. He did great things, you know, obviously bringing Dirk, bringing Luka. I mean, he's bar none. He's top exec in all of basketball. And then seeing Carlisle go, I mean, hey, that's my NBA championship coach. I mean, he's taught me so much about the game, the X's and O's of the game. He was a mad scientist when it came to matchups and putting players in position to succeed. So he had a great run. I wouldn't put it past anyone to see Coach Carlisle in the near future on another bench in the NBA. He's that valuable to our league, and he's one of the good ones. So, you know, the Dallas Maverick franchise, you know Cuban. He's ultra competitive. He'll make sure he puts the right people in place. We'd love to see Michael Finley, you know, in that GM seat. He's a good friend of mine. Obviously, Dirk is back involved now. So they'll be in good hands. They're under good leadership. And, you know, the Mavs got a great young star in Luka. They continue to build around him. And we'll see them making deep runs in the playoffs as well.
There was that article in The Athletic last week inside the Mavericks front office. Mark Cuban, shadow GM, is causing a rift with Luka Doncic. Do you have confidence that Luka is going to stay with the Mavs and there's going to be a long Dirk one-team run here with Luka Doncic with the Mavericks?
It's always interesting when you see articles and you see people put things out there, but you never see direct quotes from Luka himself. And me knowing Luka the way I do is he's a hooper. Like, he's not concerned about what management got going on and analytics and all that. He's a hooper. And if you watched him in these playoffs, you understand that. Right now he's busy in Slovenia getting ready for the Olympics. And so I know he entrusts, you know, Cuban and the powers that be to do the right things, to put the necessary pieces around him. And, you know, he loves the city of Dallas. I mean, this is the city that gave him his start. And when you watch him play, he wears the city on his chest and on his back, man. He's all in when it comes to Dallas, man. So I don't buy into the rumors, and I haven't seen anything of it or heard anything of it from his end.
Now, Mark Cuban was talking about the relationship. It even brought up your relationship with Dirk when it first started, when talking about KP and Luka Doncic. What would your message be to Kristaps Porzingis? Because I don't think he seems to be happy in Dallas, is kind of the sense I get.
Well, the one thing about it is, you know, you always want to self-reflect and look at, you know, what can I do to help the team, the organization, the franchise be better? And, you know, for him, he just has to remain healthy. I mean, I don't think he's played a full season since he's been in the NBA. And so a healthy Kristaps Porzingis is a very, very viable second guy next to Luka. He's very valuable on the defensive end, but offensively he stretches the floor. I just think, you know, for him, he has to get healthy. You know, he has to be healthy and feeling confident and good about himself. And I think they can make it work, man. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, if they continue to go through the pitfalls of the rigors of an NBA season and playoff series, the fire will burn deep enough that you'll want to get out there and get to it. But, you know, I'd hate to see him go, but again, this is the NBA. It's a business, and they're going to do whatever they have to make their team better.
Jason Terry, can you just speak a little bit more? Did you and Dirk not get along at first, and how'd you smooth that over?
Well, you know, for Dirk, you got to look at what transpired. I mean, Steve Nash was not brought back by management. They didn't give him the contract that he was looking for, and so they brought me in to kind of take his place, fill his shoes, so to speak. You know, that was Dirk's best friend, a guy that he came to the Mavs and grew up with. And they did everything together. So, you know, I had to win Dirk over. But the only way you can win a superstar over like Dirk is you have to earn his respect. And for me, I earned it on the floor and I earned it off the floor. You know, late night shooting sessions. You know, when he's down at the other end, I'm on the other end shooting, and he's looking down there. He's seeing me make shot after sharp shot, putting that work in, and then he sees it carry over to games where he knows he can look down and see me and count on me in the fourth quarter when the game's really on the line. So I earned his respect over the years. And eventually, man, it translated into a championship, and our relationship has been like big brother, little brother ever since. And so it's great, man. Like I said, I would never have the amount of success in my career without playing along somebody, a Hall of Famer like Dirk.
With this supposed rift between Bob Vulgaris and Luka Doncic, Vulgaris's contract is up after this postseason. Do you think that the Mavericks should bring him back? Do you know anything about Bob Vulgaris?
Don't know much about him. I mean, I know about his history, the legend, so to speak, in Vegas. I heard he was pretty good at what he did. But other than that, man, I don't know much about him, so I can't give you too much on the inside on that one.
Last thing I'll ask you, Jason Terry, because you're an assistant on the Arizona staff. Do you have aspirations to be a head coach in college or the NBA one day?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, I can definitely see myself leading a college basketball program. Don't rule out me being on a bench here in the NBA. I mean, I also have aspire, you know, to give my 19 years of experience and knowledge to these young guys and mentor these young guys and kind of show them the way. So we'll see what the cards hold, man, but I'm enjoying my time now at Arizona. We got under new leadership under Tommy Lloyd and back at my alma mater, so I'm having fun doing what I do.
If the Mavericks call you, you think you could be an NBA head coach right now?
100%. I mean, that's definitely on my bucket list and goals of dreams to come true. But you know what? You know, when you put all the X's and O's aside, it's about managing people, right? Are you a people person? Can you get guys to buy in to your system and fight for one cause and the betterment of the team? And, you know, for me, that's kind of what I did my whole career. You know, selfless guy, sacrificed for the betterment of the team and, you know, always brought guys together. And I think if you look at the young coaches we have in our leagues today, Tyronn Lue, Nate McMillan, you know, Doc Rivers, Monty Williams, all those guys, when they were players, were the glue to all the teams they were on. And so that's a good characteristic to have, and I would love the opportunity.
Now, I'll give you just one piece of advice. I remember last time you were on with us, you told us this legendary story, how after a playoff loss, Mark Cuban told you to meet you at the airport, and he took you guys on a team bonding trip to Vegas. Maybe the jet gets on the jet. You pick up Mark Cuban, and now you become the next head coach and convince him in Vegas.
Hey, let me check if that plane is ready to fly.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time. Good luck at Arizona if you'll be there, unless I guess you'll be coaching the Mavericks. We appreciate you coming on and great stuff at NBA TV.
Appreciate all the love.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.